Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Seated. I love that song. I love that song. Well, I'm pumped up. I'm excited. It's the kind of still the beginning of the year, and I've got a lot that God has laid on my heart for Christian Ministries Church in the year 2021. I am right now in the middle of winter, and I'm dressing like I'm ready for summer. So I am wanting to right now live for the future, for what's coming. And I didn't do that on purpose, but Rob came up to me tonight and he says, "You look like you're ready to go on vacation." I said, "I am." He said, "Where are you going?" "I'm going with you." So anyway, I am pumped about what we're going to be talking about the next few weeks. You know, we started on Vision Sunday, the 3rd of this year. We talked about the word essential. And if you haven't listened to the vision for Christian Ministries Church, it's on podcast. I want to encourage you to get the last two Sundays. It's just imperative that you stay up with the vision, and I think everybody here has probably heard that, but if you haven't, get on our podcast and listen to Sunday, January 3rd, and I talked about the importance of the word essential in the Christian life. Here is the thing. We are essential for what is going on in our world. It's so important that you see yourselves as that. We can look at what's going on in our world and we can get this doom and gloom mentality. And I'm telling you, it will defeat you and it won't work for the cause of Christ. And so we've got to understand that that's not who we are. We are living right now in an information age. I mean, Sunday afternoon, my wife and I were sitting at the table at a restaurant out to eat, and we were with our missionary. Did y'all enjoy Alvin Sunday? Man, I tell you, I'm so grateful for him. And he was here on Sunday, and with the offering that we received on Wednesday night, and then what came in for him, we sent him home with over $7,000. So I'm just telling you, God's good. This church never ceases to amaze me, the heart of the givers here. And so Alvin said he had already had this year all his expenses paid while he was in the States. So that will go for the next project, and he will be sending me an update of what that is. So anyway, that was just a real pump for me. Well, anyway, back to my story. We're sitting there at the restaurant, and Michelle and I, we get on this app on our phone called Marco Polo. I don't know if anybody's ever seen that or have it, but we do that, and you can put different people in your group. Well, we had Justice and Johanna in our group, and so we're sitting there, and we, at the table, I'm looking at a group from our church or a couple from our church family that is, in essence, doing missionary work because he preached while he was in Africa. You'll hear more about that later. So he's over there. They're over there ministering, doing what God's called them to do. And then we got someone that Michelle and I are sitting at the table with from Honduras. And then the hillbillies. The hillbilly. And the one that makes the hillbilly look good. Anyway, so we're sitting at the table, and we send a Marco Polo, and I'm to Justice and Johanna. And as I sent this thing, I was amazed because right there on the screen it popped up and said, "Justice is watching." Now, here's what's really cool about that. When I was just filming everybody and say hi, and then in a matter of seconds, here's Justice and Johanna and the whole family sitting around the living room. I didn't even know what time it was there. I thought it's the middle of the night. He'll just have to deal with it. But I knew it wasn't the time it was. Anyway, he sends me this Marco Polo back, and in a matter of seconds, we're video talking, communicating back and forth. And I thought, man, we live in a day and age that's crazy. That we can have that quick communication. I got off the phone and Alvin said, "Is that not amazing? That's just amazing." And so as I was thinking about all of that, he got back and I was talking to Justice this afternoon. And he was telling me a little bit about his trip. And one of the things that amazed him was he said, over there, regardless of income, everybody has a phone. Now, it may not be everybody in the family, but every family at least is represented with the phone. And that's the first thing they update over there. And the reason for that is because it's the way that they receive information into their home. It's the way they communicate. If they're going to communicate with anyone, they have to have a phone. And the more this is in the Gambia. And I thought, I mean, my view of the Gambia is probably different than it really is, but I've watched videos on PBS, and I know that it has to be a little more backwoods than here. And here, I know that everybody has a phone, and it's not a big deal. But the idea that it was so important in what my view was of the Gambia kind of made me go, wow. I mean, we get everything that you can imagine on this little device. I was sitting in my office getting ready for tonight, and I thought, you know what? Here's what's amazing to me. You don't need much if you have this. I mean, this is now your roadmap. You can punch in any address, not only in the United States. I asked Alvin, I said, is the GPS, is it really good? Can you punch in addresses in a third world country in Honduras? He goes, has every street in the world on there. I travel all over. And he goes, this can get me anywhere. As long as I have my phone, I'm good. It's now a professional camera. I mean, I was in the video industry for a few years, and I knew that cameras at that time cost $15,000 to $20,000 for you to get the clarity you were looking for. Now that's available right here. It's your professional camera. It's your video recorder. Do you realize when I set up my RV, I do this right here and it's my level? This has a level in it. Some of you that are a little older are going, are you kidding? Yeah, it really does. And it's accurate as the one with a bubble. I'm not kidding, Andy. I'm serious. It's accurate. I mean, he's looking at me like, there's no, I'll show you later. Yeah. Your tape measure, it has a little deal on it, and I've checked it with an actual tape measure. You can take it and you can put it at a point right here, and then you can go like this and then push the point over here, and it tells you how far it is from here to here. It's a tape measure. You don't need a tape measure when you have this. Some of you builders are going, yes, you do. You haven't tried it. It's your weather radio. Have you ever thought, I need a weather radio? No, you need a phone. It's your weather radio. It's your flashlight. I mean, I just learned this week you can just push a button on the outside and boom, there you go. You've seen this. Anyway, I mean, it's your encyclopedia. Do you realize we don't need an encyclopedia anymore? They're building right now in Clever a library. And I'm thinking somebody don't have a phone. Every book you could ever imagine is right here. I'm not kidding you. It's your calculator. It really is. You guys are looking at me like it's a walkie-talkie. It's an alarm clock. I don't have an alarm clock anymore. But that is my alarm clock. It's your email that you get in and out. It is your book. It's your radio. It's your CD player. It's your credit card. You know, it's your translator in another country. When you go and you can't speak English, you just need an app on your phone and it can translate anything you got to say to them. It's your fitness coordinator. You don't even need to hire anybody. It's right there. Free app. Yep. It's your yellow tablet that old preachers use. Have you seen Tim Brooks? He uses a yellow tablet. He flips it all the time. All you need is a phone. I'm going to play that for him. No, I'm not. Don't tell him I said that and take that out of the... Here's the other thing. I have seen preachers preach with their phone. So you don't need a yellow tablet if you have a phone. You don't even need this, but I can't see that very well, so I'm still using it. If you're a guitar player, it can be your pitch finder. We got any guitar players that use it to... Okay, good. We got some good. See, this right here can tell you if your guitar is, it can be your drum beat. If you're a drummer, it can give you your beats per minute. I mean, it's your speedometer. I don't have a speedometer on my boat. I set that right up there, and I've got an app, and it tells me how fast I'm going. Every once in a while, I do it in my car. I don't hold it and look at it at the same time. It's sitting there on a little deal, and I push it before we take off, and I'm watching it. You know, it's a key fob. It will start two of my vehicles, and it'll unlock the cars for me from right here. I don't know if you know all the things that this thing does. It's your insurance papers if you get pulled over. I just think about all the things you don't have to have. When I go hunting, it's my hunting and fishing license. Dylan's going, you're right, buddy. He knows that. It's your passes or your tickets to get in and out of places, to get on and off an airplane. It's your boarding pass. It's your watch. And here's the other thing. It's your news source. Now, my grandpa had a favorite statement that he would say all the time because he remembered at an early age in life, he opened a refrigerator and the light came on. And it was mind-boggling to him because he said, does it go out when you close it? And here's what he'd say, what will they think of next? And every time I learn of something else this phone does, I'm like, what will they? I can't help but think of Grandpa's. What will they think of next? When somebody told me this had a level in it, I'm like, my whole life has changed. I'm so tired of having to get a level out for certain things. I mean, my whole life, what will they think of next? We're in this day and age of technology with this little device, and here's what's so amazing to me. We have more information, we have more technology than we've ever had, but yet we have the least amount of wisdom that I've ever seen in my whole life right now. Operating in this culture. In 2005, the vision for this church was to be wise. We made a little fun with it. Be wise in 05. We tried to kind of rhyme it here. Wise in 05, and that's what we did. We talk about wisdom the whole time. In 2005, I did a series, and I went back and looked at my notes, and I said, I'm so glad that I have learned a little more about speaking. I couldn't even use my notes. We had to rewrite the whole thing. But what I've done is I went back and I said, okay, I have to speak for some clarity into people's lives that we're not operating in. Why? Because we don't have to. I have YouTube right here. I need to know how to do something. I just get on YouTube. See, I'm to a place in life where I don't need to operate in wisdom because I've got this. Wherever I'm at, I got this. I don't have to learn scripture. I got Google. I know your Bible's on here. How much more do you read this one than the one that you open up? See, there's just so, and I'm not here to attack anybody, I'm just saying wisdom is we're in need of like we've never been before. And I want to talk from a book in Scripture that the book of Proverbs, it is just mind-boggling to me the way our society is acting. Look at people, young and old alike, buying things they can't afford. Come on, I mean, they're just doing it right. While being broke all the time, and we have in the United States of America more money than any other country in the world. I mean, they just made in Missouri the minimum wage jump up to above 10. If you really want to go somewhere where it's high, go to Arkansas, it went to 11. Minimum wage. Why didn't they make it 50? Why'd they stop at 10? Go ahead and go on up. Let's just. All I can tell you is I don't know why we're doing what we're doing, but I don't see any wisdom applied to half of what I see going on in our world. There's no wisdom. And here's the thing. If the church doesn't get to a place, if we do not get to a place where we recognize that wisdom only comes from the Lord, then we're going to look in society to try to get something that it's not offering. People jumping into marriage without even thinking about it. Leaving a job before they have another one. Wondering why our country is where it is. I can go on and on and on, but here's what I want to do. I want to talk about these things over the next few weeks because I just want to dive into Proverbs. Now, here's what you can know. My gifting here at Christian Ministries Church is preacher / teacher. And I have had seasons where I did a lot of teaching and seasons where I have done a lot of preaching. Let me just explain the difference between them. Teaching is giving you principles, giving you promises, giving you things that you didn't know. And what you can do with it. See, it's talking about what you can, that's what teaching is. Well, I didn't know that before. Or maybe it's bringing back to mind something that you'd heard before, but you really didn't get it. And so we'll get it again. That can be all teaching. Here's what preaching is. It's taking something you already know and motivating you now to go do it. So what I'm not doing is, and what I want you to know is the Wednesday nights for the next few weeks, I will probably, because it's just part of who I am, get kind of excited every once in a while. But what I'm trying to do is pretend like we're sitting around a table in the living room when we're at a Bible study. And we're going to teach. We're going to teach for a few weeks. And so I want to encourage you, when you come in with your thinking cap on. And get some stuff out of Scripture that you may have never thought about before. And so tonight, I'm not going to overwhelm you. I'm just going to talk about and introduce the book of Proverbs as we move forward. Because this year, if we're going to see ourselves as essential, then we've got to make sure that we're operating in wisdom. If we're going to be essential, we got to have some wise men and women. And so as we introduce this, before you read a book, before you read Proverbs, one of the cool things about Proverbs is there's 31 chapters, and so there's kind of one for every day of the month. One for every day of the month. So if today's the 13th, you would read Proverbs 13. I mean, it's kind of the way you can look at it, and I want to encourage you. You don't have to read the whole book, but just go ahead and start out with 13. Maybe when you get home tonight, maybe at some point, just start reading Proverbs so you can be in on some of what we're talking about. But one of the first things before I read a book, I do three things. Before I read a book, the first thing is I find out what the book is going to give me. Right now I'm not reading a lot of books on parenting. Why? Because I'm done. But I need to be reading some books on being a grandparent and being a good one. See, there are things that appeal to me based on the season of life I'm in. Young people that aren't married, how many books are you reading on marriage? Well, I'm not married yet. Do you want to be? See, there's some things that you might want to start looking. I'm just poor all the time. There's some really good books out there on finances. See, there's some things that you can know. My life's just in shambles. You might want to try the Bible. See, there's some things that in life that you can get based on a book. So when I'm getting ready to read a book, I'm always amazed at someone that comes up to me and says, hey, have you read this book? And I'll go, what's it about? And they'll tell me. And you know, sometimes they don't light my fire. Have you ever had somebody say, you need to read this? And they tell you what it is. And like, I don't really care anything about that. There was a season where people would always give me health books. And I could say, you can look at me and tell me I don't care anything about that. See, there are just things that certain things you don't care. So when you find a book, you want to know that there's something in it that's going to be good for you. Well, I'm telling you, Proverbs is good for everybody. Here's the second thing. You need to check out the author. So what do you know about the author? We're going to look at that. And then you want to find out what others are saying about it. I'm all about hearing what someone else says when they find a good book, but just know this. As soon as they say, I found a good book, I'm going to look at their life, and then I'm going to hear what they said about what they said the book was about and see if it made a difference. Did that book make a difference in their life? That's why I haven't, for a long time, I haven't promoted a lot of health books. Because everybody look at me and go, I'm not reading that book. Didn't work for you. It ain't going to work for me. See, there's certain things that if somebody's going to promote, if you're going to promote the Bible, then you want it to make an impact in your life. So if we're going to operate in wisdom, we need to know some things about it. That's what the book's about. One word, the word wisdom, comes over and over again. It occurs 125 times. Wise or wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs addresses daily problems in a very practical manner. This is right up my alley because I am really a practical teacher. I want to know the practical word of God. I haven't taught this in a long time, but what I'm telling you is foundational to this church. In 2005, we went through this for the first time, and it changed the way I know that I looked at life. And I pray that by the end of this, if you'll take some of this, it will change the way you look at a lot of things. Now, Matthew 22:37 says, love the Lord with all your, anybody know? Your heart, your mind, your strength. I mean, everything that you are, it says love the Lord with everything you are. Here's what I want you to know. You need to love the Lord not only with your mind, but with your heart. Not only with your heart, but with your mind. See, that I think we try to separate these, but they all go together. Ephesians 5:15 says, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. And it compares people who live in wisdom as to who you should live like. And I have just got some people that I surround myself in life that I have watched as I read Proverbs. I think, man, that's that person. That's that person. I need to live like I'm seeing them live because I see that wisdom over there. What is wisdom? Get this. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. That's what wisdom is. It's the ability to use knowledge. You know what? If you're ignorant, you don't have any knowledge. Because that would be the opposite of. I mean, I don't know. Well, you need to get to know. Why? Because you don't have an ability to use something that you don't know. And when you all the time depend upon your phone for knowledge, then you're never going to operate in wisdom. Do you see why I started out the way I did? If this is where you get all your knowledge and it's not in you, then people aren't going to look at you as wise. They're going to see your phone as wise. We've got to have some Christians seen as wise. We've got to see them operating different. Wise people can grasp the meaning of what's going on. That's what wise people can do. They can see what's going on in a culture, in society, at their work, in their marriage, at their home, and they can make right decisions, and they can make them in the right time, in the right season, and you can start seeing that it's working for them. Proverbs, as I think of biblical wisdom, it shows me some things. See, Proverbs, it shows that believing in God and that there is a God and there's a divine order makes a difference in life. Proverbs tells you that there's a moral law that we've got to operate by for wisdom to come. There's a moral law that we have to operate by. Not a law that's set by people who voted on it, but a moral law that God gave us. And if we operate that by that, things are different. See, you believe divine justice. You believe in divine justice. Divine justice only operates when wisdom is present. I can go on and on here, but I just want you to know this is imperative. Wisdom is not theoretical. Well, this theory or that. Well, in theory, I'm thinking in theory, maybe this. No, practical wisdom is available for your life. Let me go just a little further. The term common sense. The sad part about that is it's not so common anymore. Why? Because we're not studying Proverbs. We're not understanding what God set up for wisdom. There is coming a time when the good will be rewarded and the evil will be punished. There's some hope for you. There's coming a time when the good are going to be rewarded. Are you going to be on the good side? Amen. Yeah, we will be. And the evil is going to be punished. Well, I need to know the difference between the two. I need to know the difference. Wisdom tells me that. Wisdom will let me enjoy life, and it's good to make a living, but know this, just making a living doesn't make a life. Making a living is a good thing. There's a little proverb. Solomon, he's the main writer of Proverbs. Now, there'd be a couple more. I don't want to get into the arguments, but the main writer is Solomon. I'm not getting into all of the others because then I bore everybody and justice goes to sleep. That Proverbs, just because it's 2:00 in the morning. Let me just start off by going, oh no, we're going to start with the first and just go straight through. We're not. So I don't want that to freak you out. Here's what we're going to do. This is going to be a topical study of the book of Proverbs because you can just find in Proverbs 1 and then Proverbs 13 and then Proverbs 7 and then 9 and then 24, you see the same topic covered in all of those chapters, but it was one little proverb and then here's another one that goes right along with it. And here's another. So I want to do a topical study. Proverbs 1:1, there are Proverbs of Solomon. That tells you that he's the writer. Proverbs 10:1, the Proverbs of Solomon. There's just a lot here. Proverbs talks of Solomon being the author. Also, then it jumps on down and says it again, I believe, on further in Scripture. But if you have your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Kings 3:5, because I think it's important. As we're introducing this book, that we know a little bit about the credibility of the author. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. Says, that night the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God said, what do you want? Now, I like that dream. That would be a dream that in my mind I'd be like, I got to stay in this one. God says in a dream here, he appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God said, what do you want? And here's the other thing that I love more about anything. Ask and I'll give it to you. You ever woke up from a dream and you're like, oh, I want to go back to sleep and get back in that one. You know, that's, he stays in it. Solomon replied in verse 6. You showed great and faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he was honest and true and faithful to you. And you have continued to show this great and faithful love to him today by giving him a son to sit on his throne. Now, O Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father David. But I'm like a little child who doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot be counted. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. So God replied, because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have not asked for a long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you ask for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart such as no one else has had or ever will have. Now, as I read that, I think, okay, he's a king, but he says he's like a little child who can't carry out his duties, and he's in need of the Lord. You ever feel like that? I think we all have. We've all been in a place where, okay, God, I don't know what to do. I know that there are times that I have been put in a position. Melanie and I had visited today a little bit about the conference that we go to each year in Hot Springs, the ministries conference. We were visiting about it. You know, over the last 12, 13 years of going to this thing, it has taught us a lot, but a lot we may not even know we learned. It was just continuing under the same teaching over and over, hearing it, and then it became a part of us. And you know, when the church started, I hadn't really led a church. And so I can kind of understand that Solomon's now put into this position that I've never been in before. Melanie had said, you know, several years later as worship leader, there's a lot of things I've learned. And I know that time can teach you a lot of things. But Solomon in this dream said, God, you're the giver of wisdom. And I'm in need of it right now. And I don't know if you're in a position right now where you're like, I'm in over my head. I don't know what I'm going to do. I can tell you that God is the giver of wisdom. And he gave it to Solomon, and Solomon gave it to us and said, you know what? I'm going to write this stuff down. And because he was the wisest man, and no one had else been that wise, and no one ever will be, I mean, that's just scripture. I've got some real wisdom right here that can impact how I lead. Why? Because Solomon got it. Solomon got it, and it's written down for us. Solomon asked for discernment to know right from wrong. Should I listen to this? Should I go watch this movie? Should I say this to my spouse or should I not? I mean, there's just some things that we have available to us in Proverbs that if we'd operate by it, our marriage may look different. Our friendships may look different. Our work atmosphere and environment may look different. Keep in mind, wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. So it's going to give you some and then tell you how to use it. So we're going to get some knowledge so that we can make it wisdom. 1 Kings 11, 1 through 6. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women. I don't know if you got what I just read in 1 Kings 3. He had a dream, and that was all the right one. This time he wasn't dreaming, he was just imagining. And because he was in his position, him loving many foreign women was probably not a good idea. Besides Pharaoh's daughter, he married women from Moab, Ammon, Edom, Sidon, and from among the Hittites. Now in verse 2, the Lord had clearly instructed the people of Israel, you must not marry them, because they'll turn your hearts to their gods. Yet Solomon insisted on loving them anyway. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines. And in fact, they did turn his heart away from the Lord. Yep. What in the world? He had 700 wives. There was no Walmart back then. Or he wouldn't be the richest guy. Anyway, let me go. In Solomon's old age, that was a funny in my own mind. I forgot. In Solomon's old age, they turned his heart to worship other gods, just like God said. Instead of being completely faithful to the Lord his God and his father David had been, you know, David had been faithful, Solomon. Solomon worshiped the goddess of the Sidonians and Molech and the detestable god of the Ammonites. And in this way, Solomon did what was evil in the Lord's sight. He refused to follow the Lord completely as his father David had done. Here's what you got to know. I just told you, Solomon was given wisdom because God gave him the opportunity to ask for it. And then his own heart, not in line with where it needed to be, caused him not to operate based on what his mind could have told him. See, we're supposed to honor God in all those areas. That doesn't mean he still didn't have it in his mind, but we can have some knowledge and not activate it and look like we're not operating in wisdom. Do you see that? Even Solomon, the one who gave us all this in Scripture. Now, it was given from God, but it was through him. Now, we can talk about righteousness, and we can talk about it all day long and still not do the right thing. Talk about it all day long. How can we amen one thing and then go do something different? Here's how. Every one of us have done that. Well, not me, because I don't say amen out loud. You've said it in your mind. You've said it in your mind and said, yeah, I need to do that, and then went out and not. I know. We've all been there. Our kids, as Christian men and women here in this kingdom and in this day and time, should be the most awesome kids in the world. Someone comes to this church, they ought to look at the kids and go, man, those kids stand out. Why should they see that? Because we ought to be acting on wisdom. We ought to be acting on the knowledge that's put into us. You can be taught and you can learn all about wisdom, and you can see kids that go to church and you can see them out in an environment and go, they go to church? I watch enough Christian sports to know that not everybody that claims Christianity operates in wisdom. But we should. It's available. Proverbs are short statements that summarize in a few short sentences, statements, whatever. They summarize life if we'll operate in it, in the wisdom that it gives. Now, the other thing it does, it gives short statements that are based on a long experience. You do this over time, over time. The Hebrews translation of Proverbs means comparison. They compare. And what they compare is statements. Chapter 11 of Proverbs, verse 22. And you don't have to turn, let me just read this to you. A beautiful woman who lacks discretion is like a gold ring in a pig snout. Some of these you read and you can't help but smile. A beautiful woman, okay, you got that in your mind, who lacks discretion, get that in your mind, is like a gold ring in a pig snout. Now, what's that tell you? There's so much there in that one statement, you could write a whole book on it. But it's just one statement. Chapter 15, verse 16. Better to have little with fear for the Lord than to have great treasure and inner turmoil. Boy, just some of these statements, you're like, that is so vast. And it's a long experience, or it's a short statement based on your particular circumstance. chapter 16, verse 19. Better to live humbly with the poor than to share plunder with the proud. Chapter 16, 32. Better to be patient than powerful. What's that mean? Chapter 19, verse 1. Better to be poor and honest than to be dishonest and a fool. Well, I just, one verse to the next can be totally a different topic. I was reading that and then I read the next one. I'm like, that has nothing to do with the one I just read. But all of them have to do with wisdom, so they all have to do with what I just read. So they bring results in practical ways. Now, we're going to group these together rather than go verse by verse. And I want to take some statements and group them together so that we can benefit from the totality of what has been said. Let me just tell you some 1-2-3s about this. Proverbs never contradict. They never contradict. The book of Proverbs is written by divine inspiration. And so there's nothing we have bunches of old proverbs. You know, the word proverbs is bigger than just the definition that I'm given out of the Hebrew or what it was meant from a biblical. But proverbs, just the English word proverbs, from its original descent just means short sayings. So there's old ancient Chinese proverbs. Every culture, custom has different proverbs. He who hesitates is lost. Where's that? That's one of man's proverbs, not God's. Look before you leap. You ever heard any of these? Too many cooks in the kitchen. I've heard some different ladies say that. They've walked in when I've been in there and they're saying, get out. Too many cooks in the kitchen. My dad used to say this all the time, many hands make light work. And I'd say, Dad, then come help me. No, you go do that. Just get somebody. Many hands make light work. Too many hands spoil the broth. Have you heard any of them? Now some of you are going, yeah, I heard a couple. A lot of these, though, they contradict each other. But none of them in Proverbs tell us to do opposite things. That would make a proverb false, and all God's proverbs are divine. They're all divine of nature. They all have the thumbprint of God on it. So as you're reading this, these are directly from God, and they are there for our taking. The cost of writing in the day of Solomon, the cost of that was really, really high. And one of the things I can tell you about people who have a lot of money is they know what not to spend money on. That's the reason they have it. Because they haven't spent it on things they didn't need to. And see, they had that day and time, animal skins they'd have to ride on and then duplicate it, had to be handwritten, the time that put into it. And so he wanted to give the people, here's what I believe wholeheartedly, he wanted to give people things they could remember. That just all of a sudden it come to mind. Many hands make light work. That's something easy to remember. I've heard that my whole life. So I can remember that. And so these proverbs should be something that we can get in us and it can make a difference. These are easily remembered. You can write a whole book on every one of them. And so what we're going to cover over the next few weeks, here's the topics. Wealth. If you need some money, there's some proverbs that can help you with that. If you need to maintain some money, if you've got a position in your life where it's going to have to design to bring some funds in there, like, I don't know if I can handle this. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, it also is talking about making friends. Well, I don't have enough friends. It's going to talk about making friends. It's going to talk to you about keeping friends. It's going to talk to you about building happy homes, having a happy house, a husband-wife relationship, parenting relationships, parent-kid relationships, kid relationships, avoiding temptation, avoiding trouble, controlling your feelings, disciplining your tongue, godly character. Boy, so much here. All right. I have to start this out by giving you the three topics and then we'll be done. Here's the three topics of Proverbs, or the three sections, I should say, of Proverbs. First one is chapters 1-9, wisdom and folly. And each one of them are referred to as a person of a female gender. For instance, wisdom shouts in the street, she cries out in the public square. So wisdom has a person characteristic in this. She cries out. So Proverbs 1 through 9, it's talking about wisdom. And that's what we're going to start with next week. Wisdom has built her house. She has carved its seven columns. She has prepared a great banquet. She has sent her servants to invite everyone to come. See, wisdom is what we're talking about, but it's given it a human name, she. Now, she is wisdom, Proverbs chapters 1 through 9. And then in Proverbs 9, it says in verse 13, the woman named folly is brash. She is ignorant, opposite of wisdom, doesn't know. So foolishness or folly would be the opposite of wisdom. And here's what you got to know. Then chapters 10 through 15, it talks about the contrast between a wise life and a foolish life. And giving them both those humanistic characteristics by using the word she. Proverbs 12:1, to learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction. See, it's wise to love discipline, and it's stupid to hate correction. How many people mix that up? How many young people? I hate correction. That's what we say, but the proverb says you got to learn to love discipline, and you got to hate. You got to learn how stupid it is to hate correction. That's just dumb. It's dumb. Well, I'm going to correct you on this. Well, I don't want to be corrected. Well, then you're stupid. I didn't say that. The word, it's stupid. Your actions and your thought is stupid. It's stupid to hate correction. But a lot of people don't ever want to be corrected. See, Proverbs can change the way you think if you understand the difference between wisdom and foolishness. Then the last one, so that's the second section. And then third section, chapter 16 through 31, gives counsel about a lot of different areas of our life. Church, here's what you got to know. Through all of this, Christ is our study. Christ is our study. You say, how in the world is Christ our study? Colossians 2, verse 2 says, I want them to be encouraged. This is Paul speaking to the church at Colossae. And he says, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have a complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:26. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful or wealthy when God called you. It's only through your calling that wisdom is available. And it's only through your calling that Christ is going to manifest himself and move in you. It's only through Christ that any of this is possible. Not through a smartphone. I thank God for a smartphone, but I hope it doesn't cause us to get to a place where we're not seen as wisdom and people in this society that are essential. Come on, this world needs us. They need us. And Proverbs will teach us how to then act in the knowledge that we've given and be seen as wise. And we're going to be seen as wise as we go. Are y'all excited about this study at all? Just hope that this will encourage you and really get you into the Word as we move forward with this. Y'all stand with me this evening.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.